From our family to your family, this is A Legacy of Faith, the podcast. Welcome to A Legacy of Faith, a podcast designed to help your family survive the day, plan for tomorrow, and always keep an eye on eternity. We're glad you joined us for episode number 146. Lee, it's good to be back with you.
Good to be here.
And right off the bat, I've got a question for you.
Oh, no.
Will you be my Valentine?
Yes. I thought it was going to be a sports question.
No, it's Valentine.
You do that usually.
I can do one.
No, it's okay.
Okay. I thought you'd like this question yes. A little more.
I'll be your Valentine.
I asked you earlier, but I thought we'd get that on record. You know, I could just tell people you said yes, nobody believed me. But now I've got you recorded. I will not be editing that part out to prove that the most beautiful woman in the world is my Valentine. Everybody else is fighting for second place. Hearty har har.
You're sweet.
Or neener, neener, neener. So Valentine's Day is coming up, and it's going to be like 4 degrees.
It is cold in Kentucky.
I saw it. We're recording this actually on Wednesday. We usually record on Thursday, and I'll talk about that in a second. But today, Leah, at some point today, I can't remember what time it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 63 in Nashville and 33 in Paducah.
Really?
It was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It was 30 degrees difference. And it was a current map, so it wasn't like at some point during the day. It was like at that point. It was 30 degrees difference.
It's icy here. And
yeah. It's kind
it's
of
like
odd.
Messy.
Yeah, it's going to be
it's
a
not
cold,
snowy even. It's just messy and icy,
cold
freezing
Valentine's
rain.
Day coming up.
Yes.
So you're going to have to hold me close.
I can do that.
Keep me warm.
I can do
while
that.
I'm preaching on Valentine's Day.
Oh, I couldn't hold you close when you're preaching.
That might be a little weird. So we have recorded these every other week, but this time we've been off schedule. But we want to take just a second to let you know we're off schedule this time on purpose. This is the third in a 3-part series, and we'll talk about what that is in just a second. And we had really gotten good about being on schedule, but thankfully, things at Central are beginning to restart and reopen just kind of piece by piece, and that's wonderful. Of course, we know...
Don't say it too loud.
I'll say things can be shut right back down, or at least certain things could. It's possible, but one of those things that restarted was Teens in the Word, and we were very excited about that restarting. And we don't always record on Thursdays, but that's kind of plan A, I guess the best way to put it, on weeks that we record. And Teens in the Word is on Thursdays, and when we restarted, it was going to be on last week. And so we decided to wait one more week to record this episode so that those weren't always falling on the same week. So hopefully this helps us stay in the every other week mode for a while, because we're not hitting the same weeks as Teens in the Word. So that's why we went, you know, on schedule, and here they go again, off schedule. This was actually intentional, and hopefully with an eye looking forward to stay more on the every other week schedule. So maybe that'll work. Other things are restarting a little bit. Small stuff, but good stuff. And anything that can restart right now is like...
Yes.
I mentioned when I preached last Sunday, we had announcements this morning. It was like, there's stuff. Like, we have to remember
that's
when
fact.
Something is. So,
yes, it's true.
Yeah, it's very nice. So still a long way to go, but it's good to see some things happening. And I know you can just tell people are encouraged, and... you know, ladies devos or youth devos or whatever, you know, doing things differently, but at least restarting. You can just see in people's eyes they're thankful that
right.
something is going on.
That's
so
true.
It's
That's
exciting.
True.
I mean, our kids are a hair excited about
that. Oh, yeah.
About.
I mean, I really feel sorry for kids in general. I mean, at least we are going through this as adults, and
right.
we know. And I've thought so many times how this... going on for a year, that's a year of their very short lives.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're teenagers, you know, if you think about that,
yeah.
it's a long time for them
it's
to
big
have
percentage of their life,
and all these events canceled that they are just getting old enough to really look forward to and
mm-hmm.
be in a habit of going to and all that. So I've really truly felt sorry for them.
Oh, I have too. I've said all along, really other than older people who have kind of been the the target of all this, really, like, don't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I felt sorry for kids above
right.
everything else, because they, especially smaller kids, just can't understand. Like you said, even, you know, tweens and teens, it's such a big percentage of their
right.
life. It's just hard, and there's mm-hmm. still ways to go. But at least there's some some, you know, exciting things happening, and hopefully that's looking up a little more. So this is part three of a three-part series. It means we got to think of something else to talk about before next time. series are good until they run out. I was like, oh, wait a minute. So next time we'll be getting a 74-part series on 74 things. Anyway, we started this 2 episodes ago, and we're using the ironic title of How to Raise Secular Children. Of course, we don't want to raise secular children. We're kind of using
tongue in cheek.
Yeah, the ironic title. Two episodes ago, the first step or the first thing is to fit church into your schedule when it's convenient. And by the way, this is from a list you found on Facebook, not an article or anything, but literally just a list. Mm-hmm. And we're just expanding these out. Two was to devalue the message by living a church life and a different home life. We talked about, you know, the need for consistency. And so on this episode, 146, we're thinking about the third and final on this list. And there's other things you can add, of course. And that is to give higher priority to school and sports activities than church involvement. Now, let me say this real quickly. We said this in each episode. We want to give this a little disclaimer, and that is that all three of these overlap to some degree.
Right.
This is not three of the same episode, but I'm sure we'll say a handful of things that you go, that would have been better on number two, probably. That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I want to say right from the outset, Leah, that I really like about the way that one is worded, let me just say it again, give higher priority to school and sports activities than church involvement. Let me say one thing I really like about how they worded that. And that is, it says give higher priority. In other words, it is not wrong to have school activities, sports activity, or just school in general, or sports in general. And I really appreciate that they worded it that way, where it wasn't just don't do anything but youth group activities or church activities.
And the key word there, like you said, priority, and even specifically a higher priority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the whole idea of what is going to take the place of more importance.
Right.
You know, and so that's kind of the discussion that we're going
to
have.
Right. So I wanted to point that out right at the beginning, because that's a huge thing, is the way that's worded. We have said this in this podcast. This is episode 146. We've probably said it 727 times. We are not anti-school. We are not anti-sports. We're not anti-band, anti-theater, anti-whatever. Our kids are not involved in them. Of course, we homeschool, but, you know, our kids are not involved in, you know, those sorts of things much. But it's not because we hate them or because we think, you know, every organized activity is the worst thing in the world. It's not that at all. If that were the case, we wouldn't go to ball games and support kids from the youth group, or, you know, or like pictures on Facebook where a kid gets a game-winning home run. We would say, that's evil, that kid's playing that sport. But so we're not anti those things, but we are anti those being number one.
Right, and I think just the whole point of that list was how to raise secular children. Of course, they're, you know, we said they're being sarcastic or tongue-in-cheek or whatever you would want to say, but and that, you know, a lot of the decisions that you make, and especially if you're saying with us, like what we've chosen to do or not to do, it's based on, do we want our kids to be secular, which is worldly, mm-hmm. or just even if it, even worldly, not in a immoral way, but just secular, like they think about the things of the world.
Right. Have the world's viewpoint.
Right. Or do we want them to be, you know, spiritually minded? And so a lot of what you decide in your family, that's why these overlap so much, is going to come down to really and truly what you're trying to put into your children. And I would think it's safe to say if you haven't thought about what you're putting into your children, you're probably putting more secular ideas into them. Or not, because the world's going to take care of that for you. Well, so it's a decision you make to either put spiritual things first, or you're teaching your kids to be secular.
And one way that's true, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, is it is a zillion different things that fit under the mindset or the activities of
right.
the secular versus church.
And it's not to say that you couldn't, like you said, participate in regular secular activities.
Sure.
You know, we're not advocating
you played
that,
sports in high school.
Right.
I was in band and choir, played sports in middle school, so we're not saying these things are terrible. And
we're not advocating that, you know, that all you can do with your kids are sit and, you know, study the Bible and
tonight children memorize Ezekiel.
Service projects or only do youth group activities and all of that. I mean, we understand, and you know, mm-hmm. there's absolutely nothing wrong with having, of course, you know, fun or having an activity, a talent that you have that just brings you joy, a hobby. But as parents, you know, we need to always have our minds be on how do we teach our children what about things that are going to last. And if you ever wrap your head around that, that makes decisions for you a lot of times. And if you have to choose, you're going to choose the one that you know is going to last. And so, of course, that would be the spiritual ideas, spiritual things and activities that will be a part of them a lot longer than maybe some other secular activity.
And you said something there that I wanted to go to next. And it's a really simple, maybe test isn't the right word, but just sort of way to evaluate some of these things. You know, and we're going to talk about school and sports because that's what the little quote said, but this would apply to band, theater, choir, drama, anything. You know, 4-H, anything along those lines. So, you know, expand this as necessary for your family or for people you're trying to encourage. But here's, in some ways, the evaluation tool. What wins?
Right.
In other words, there's this activity at church, youth activity, maybe a trip, maybe a devotional, maybe a gospel meeting, vacation Bible school, even Sunday evening worship service, you know, Wednesday night Bible study, whatever, and whatever your congregation does normally or is doing right now. And at the same or a very similar time, there's an activity with that particular sport, group, school activity, whatever. And the evaluation tool is very simple. Which one wins? If it is shaded, you know, or leaning constantly where we don't miss a ball game, we don't miss a practice, we don't miss a recital, we don't miss a, you know, tutoring session, we don't, whatever, and the church, quote unquote, loses, we got something we got to work on
right
here. Not saying you never can miss, you know, the youth group game night, you
right,
know.
Right.
But if the church is constantly getting second place in that evaluation, something needs to be worked on.
And it's hard for me to really, I don't know how to express this very well, but it's really hard for me to understand that thinking of parents. It's hard for me to feel like, how can we really, if we are Christians and if you really have a concern for your child's eternal well-being, how would we always be justifying it? You know, how do you get to that point in your thinking? Like you express, you know, we'll never miss a ball game. That's so important to us. Or we're gonna have to really work hard and sacrifice our time to be a part of this music group or whatever, you know, fill in the blank. But then church is just seen as, well, when we can, we'll go. That kind of goes back to number one in that whole list back the couple of episodes ago. But it's just that kind of thinking. It's hard for me to talk about it, really trying hard that, you know, not to say things that come out just, I don't know, mean even, but it's mm-hmm. just hard for me to say, like, how could you do that? I mean, how could you... I can understand people of the world doing that, but we're talking about, you know, our focus here is on Christian families. And so how could you do that if you really want your children to grow up in a spiritual mindset, to make decisions that will be, you know, good for their soul eternally? How could you just constantly be making the decision that, well, everything else is going to take place, and if that means we don't go to church, well, I guess that'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't understand that. I wasn't brought up that way, and you weren't. So it's really hard for, I think, both of us to sit back and try to... Sometimes you do try to see where other people are coming from. This is one I just can't understand where you're coming from. You right. know, I don't know. Like, maybe other people could help me out here, but I don't understand. So it's really easy for me to think, maybe the problem is a heart issue. It's that you don't really, you're not buying in to Christianity as much as you need to. And it's showing in these kind of decisions, maybe.
Yeah, it at least comes through for sure in the evaluation, to use that word again, the evaluation, the decisions that are made. And again, every family has to sit down and talk about these things. And I think right there is one of the keys. We're actually going to talk about it.
Right.
Because this may sound like we're giving an out or going against what we just said, but I want to make it clear. There are going to be times where those two things are going to collide, and you realize, okay, the youth group is just getting together to go to Sonic. Yes, right. Fellowship is important, but they're not going to be, you know, worshiping. They're not going to be, you know, even having a devotional. They're just running to get a hamburger. And at that point, you can say, okay, this is an important practice, important game, important recital. But when it's constantly where we decide that anything, the church or the youth group or the Bible class group or however your congregation, you know, does youth activities, where it doesn't really matter what they're doing, that it always comes in second place, whether it's fun or devotional or a youth rally trip or anything else, and it's just, well, because it's not Sunday morning worship, then we'll choose the school activity, right, the sport, the whatever. Something's just not right about the evaluation.
Well, it's just you're building a life based on worldly things. I mean, you're important. You're probably like this, you know, title of this podcast is, you know, the priority is not there. It's that I think something else is important, and this, you know, church activity or worship activity or whatever whatever you want to say there, it just is not as important as this other, you know, what it, sport, school activity, whatever. Well, like you said, we're not picking on sports in school, but
that's just
those are the big
said.
Ones, you
and
know.
That's what the quote said,
right?
So.
That's true.
But you know, I'll save this for me. I was in choir and band in high school. I played basketball through ninth grade. I know that's a great shock that I didn't play beyond that since I was horrible. But I wasn't, so it wasn't a sport for me. It was band and choir, but those things collided. The high school I grew up going to, the music program, and frankly, especially the choir, was phenomenal. Not because of me, but it was just, I mean, concerts were a big deal. Practices were a big deal. Contests were a big deal. But we didn't miss youth activities and church trips and those things. The directors were told before the year, if this is on this particular night of the week or this weekend, I guess I'll be last chair trombone or something, but I'm not going to be there. That's the way it's going
to
be.
And I think, to be fair, and I think this is important to talk about with this discussion, really, part of why it may be a little harder. I mean, we've both talked about this. Like, we've had, you know, played sports and two sports, actually. And so it was a big part of the
I played two school. Sports.
Well,
couldn't play any.
I meant, no, that we were, like, most of the school year involved in something, like, that would involve practicing or games or whatever. And so what I mean is, we've talked about how, even with that, it just seems like it wasn't
constant,
as big a deal then as it seems like it is now.
Oh, kids in Little League now play more games than
so,
I played in high school or middle school.
So to be fair, part of the problem, and maybe to be more fair to parents out there, you know, and I said, it's hard for me to say things sometimes without sounding mean, but I think it's just our culture now, our society is really, truly, it's going farther and farther away from God.
It's secular.
It's more of a secular culture. And so, anymore, those things are going to fill up your time. And maybe it's more fair to say for most people, even if they do want their kids to, have a spiritual mindset and spiritual worldview, that maybe they're not being as intentional as they ought to be, and maybe they're letting good, wholesome activities take over and consume more of the time that they have than they should. Maybe it's just something as maybe innocent as that they don't realize, and then you get in it, or your kids want to do it, and they think, well, I played sports growing up, it was good for me. But I think as parents, we have to come to terms with when things are not the same as they used to be, and parent the way we need to now instead of how our parents were able to parent then. You know, it's just really not the same. There's a lot of differences raising kids now than there. I mean, I know overall there's going to be things that are the same, but this may be one of those instances where if your kid can't play in a sport without it being like every moment you have is dedicated.
It's like we've said on the podcast before, when you start identifying yourself as, are the soccer family, we are the basketball family, we are the softball family.
If it's taking up so much of your time that you feel like, well, we never have time for family, we never have time, and of course, as pertains to this conversation, like, we're always having to miss things at church, well, then maybe it's time to evaluate. Is that, and there it goes back to, is this going to benefit your child eternally? And, I mean, there's usually pretty easy answers to those questions. They're hard answers, but they're hard to take, but they're easy for most people to know. Like, is this really going to benefit eternally my child?
Okay, then let's up the ante a little bit, because I think most people who listen to this podcast would pretty well agree. You know, I'm not going to go to heaven because I'm a great softball player or a great, you know, trombone player or whatever it is. But let's up the ante. What about school? Our kids have to know math and English and reading and those things to just get through life. This is not, you know, I don't have to know how to play basketball to get through life. I need to know how to read.
And
I need to know how to add. I need to know how to, you know, form sentences like I just barely did to get this sentence out. So what about just not school activities or sport, you know, sports activities? What about letting school dominate our church life?
Well, it still can. You know, there's lots of activities that just come with school.
And
this
is a conversation we've had. We homeschool.
Right.
And yet still, because we want our children to be intelligent, not just I can quote the Old Testament. Well, we'd like for you to be able to write a sentence.
And it's hard. This is something I've thought about, especially the last year or so, is that the older the kids get, And Adam said, you know, we homeschool, and we even we struggle with this, is that there's school can take so much of your time during the day that, and I keep thinking to myself, there's so much more I really wish I could teach them while they're here in our home, you know, in 3.5 years, they'll be gone if they go to college
or whatever they do,
right? And so there won't be, you know, kids, right. At least be young adults, and we'll be on a different kind of parenting path by that point. But I'm thinking, how much time, you know, and I've had conversations with you, I've talked to other people, like, am I spending on teaching, you know, even if it is educate, like science or math, and we spend so much of that time, and it takes up so much that then I'm like, well, I would really like to spend time on more biblical things to teach them and have them on a, you know, a little bit higher level than just making sure they understand Bible lessons or Bible stories or whatever. But just I'm trying so hard to manage through that. And I can't even begin to imagine if I didn't have full control. At least I have the advantage. I could say, you know, like, this week I've been talking to someone about science, because it was really just becoming more and more
time consuming
and just joy sucking.
Time consuming and joy consuming.
And so my goal was, I want them to know science. I want them to succeed in college and do the things that, so I'm talking to experts. I'm talking to people who have been there, who know.
College professors
about what it is that they really need to know before they would go to college. How much am I, because for me, it matters more that we don't wreck our family or that I don't spend all my time with that versus let's talk about some biblical principles that you need to learn as an adult, you know, whatever, apologetics or, I mean, my mind's just going blank here, but any number of things that are really more important. But I, you know, you can do that, but it really does take constant evaluation of everything you're doing. And it is tiring if you're doing that as a parent. And it takes work to really think. And honestly, it's hard when you see your kid wanting to participate in an activity that you think, well, it's not really wrong. And they want to because they have their friends in that activity. It would be really hard to say no, because it takes too much time away from our church family that, you know, or if you find yourself in it, it would be even more hard to say, we're going to stop this activity. Because, and so I don't know. you know, we need to have this conversation more in our families, but it's such a hard one. Like, how do you manage all of the extra things that you would like to see your kids doing because you want them to be successful people in this world, but at some point it's got to start mattering more that they're not going to be in this world anymore. You know, they won't be in this world forever, and they're going to have an eternal soul. And that's, to me, what it really comes down to. You just have to keep asking yourself, if I have to make a choice, what is really going to serve them in eternity better?
It's almost like you're passionate about this. I don't know.
It's overwhelming. I mean, you think about it. You want them. You want it all, but we can't have it all. And I think part of Christianity is knowing how to sacrifice. And maybe it's part of what we ought to teach our kids, is teach them how to sacrifice those things that they love, even, but do that for God, and teach them why they're having to do that. And, you know, that's a lesson just by itself.
Sure. So let's get practical here a little bit. We've spent a long time talking about kind of the difficulty of this, kind of the philosophical side of it. Let's make some. These are not hard and fast rules. These are just some things a family might want to consider. You know, what are some questions to ask? Some things you could think about doing. We've talked about this one several times. One is have the conversation with your family. I think a lot of times it's basketball season signups. I'm going to sign up for basketball. Wait, can we talk about this? What is this actually going to mean? Like you said, what does playing, you know, seventh grade basketball at this school mean? How many practices is that going to be? How many games is that going to be? On what nights are those things going to be? Do you have a coach? Because some places you're going to have this and some you're not. Do you have a coach who would understand if you said, my kid can play, but they're not going to practice on Wednesday nights?
Right.
Some coaches will understand that, thankfully. And not all will.
Yeah.
But sometimes we just have a kid who just loves a sport or loves an activity, so we just, well, it's sign-up time, so we'll let them sign up. And the conversation never happens of, how is this going to impact our time? Is there someone leading that who would understand if the kid had to miss something? Is the coach or the whatever director of the play, are they just being told by the parents, we're not trying to mean here, but if you schedule something and it collides with something at church, my child will be at church? That's parenting.
It's
That's
Christian
a hard
parenting.
Conversation, yeah. An awkward conversation.
It is.
And you don't say it as a jerk, and you're not saying it in a threatening way. You know, my kid's the star point guard. And if you, it's not that. It's just, I'm just letting you know ahead of time. And you might even have the conversation with your children of, I'm going to tell your coaches this, or you can, and I'm also going to tell them, if that means they can't make the team, so be it. Right. Because church comes first. Now, that would be a super hard conversation. But the conversation needs to happen instead of, let's just sign up for something else because we just like it.
Before you ever do an activity, yes, investigate and find out. I think if you're in a place, though, that maybe a lot of families find themselves in, that you've already gotten into activity, sometimes it happens without you really thinking and knowing about it. It just is life, and all of a sudden, you know, your kids get a little older, and you've got to decide real quick over some time. You're saying, we don't have time for, we're, you know, like you mentioned, we're always missing church, or we feel like there's never enough time for us to be involved at church like we want to be. Well, that's then, if you're not sure, how are we measuring up? I mean, a maybe tedious but practical suggestion would be to list your activities on a calendar, and look at that calendar and decide, like, you know, if you have a church calendar, how many of those things have you missed? You know, like, somehow figure out a way that makes sense to you that you can actually see.
Just don't make it a 2020 church calendar because you didn't miss anything.
Yeah, don't worry about that. But we're talking normally where you're having, like, deep, you know, if you have a way to do that, just as a parent, if you care, you know, if you do care, or if you want to prove to yourself, we're not really missing that much, I think we're balancing, well, then, you know, prove it and just write it down and say, here's what we missed. You know, your kid sits at church and here's the announcement for the youth devotional, and then they don't go. I wondered, what is that really teaching your kid? Like, well, that's not that big a deal. And it might, to a parent, be like, well, it's just a little kid devotional. But for a kid, that's not just a little unimportant devotional to them. I mean, to them, those are their peers, and mm-hmm. they're just not participating with that. And then, you know, they get a little older and don't feel like church is a place where they participate. They're not going to stay. They're just not. They're not going to stay in a place and in a church where they feel like they just showed up and sat on a pew a few times. I mean, in our culture today, those kids will not stay.
Yeah.
They're not. It's not going to be important enough to, in social, because socially now, it's not the thing to do. You know, back in the day, you went to church, and most families did. But now we're not. It's not really that way anymore. And so to not really show them the priority that is there that you've placed on your family, to me, it's just really detrimental to whether or not they think that, you know, that they're even going to be hanging around church when they're a young adult, even, because it's just that important that they see that when church plans things, we're part of this group and we participate in that. And it's, you know, you already mentioned, it's not to say that you have to be at every, you know, little bitty thing, that, you know, every little fellowship activity, but you should strive to be at most of them,
right.
And feel a part of the congregation. And this would be true if you were talking about a bigger congregation or a smaller one. And it might be easier in a smaller one if there's not that many activities going on for you to make that point, but you still have to step up and make sure that you're spending time on spiritual things, even if your congregation's not. So
you kind of hinted at something I wanted to kind of list as a practical point next. You mentioned, you know, listing the things. When you take in that step, let me also give this suggestion, and that is limit the activities. In other words, you don't have to be involved in everything. You know, I've known families that say, we're going to play one fall sport and one spring sport, and we're taking the summer off. Or we're going to play Little League in the summer and one thing during the school year, be in band during the mm-hmm. school year, and that's all. That's not a bad way to this too, where your kid is involved in things, but they're not involved in three or four things that overlap. And now they've got softball practice, and right after that they're running track and field, they're mm-hmm. lifting weights for football, and, you know, but they spread out the activities from things they enjoy. Or maybe they do one activity that's involved at school during the school year, and in the summertime they do something in the community, maybe a 4-H type thing, you know, where you're at, that may not be as big of a deal, but, you know, something like that, that's more community just during the summer, or, you know, some kind of summer camp, you know, that they enjoy. So you list them and you also limit them. You know, what's going to overlap? What's going to be, okay, we're playing two sports and one isn't done when the other one starts. Mm. That's all we're going to be doing is sports, and this is a problem. So we limit them. And I think, frankly, I think a lot of kids would appreciate that. If their parents stepped in and said, yes, you can play baseball, that's great, but that's all you're doing.
Right.
As far as extracurriculars go.
Right. And even with that, what you've said, it's true. Even during that time, you still have to prioritize. Even if you're just saying, well, we're doing one sport in the spring, but that might mean that that child still has to sacrifice some things in that sport so that he can still be involved in, you know, the church activities or worship services, and that we can't take a spring off from church just because it's baseball season.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think we need to own that. We have to really understand that. And if we're really concerned about teaching our kids to be spiritually minded, that has to happen.
Can I give one suggestion not for families?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give a suggestion to churches. Think about families when you plan activities.
That's true.
You can have so many things going on that you make the kids feel guilty for being involved in
very
anything
true.
That isn't outside the
it
church.
It needs to be.
That is outside the church.
That is very true. And it needs to be well thought out. It needs to be kind of in an organized flow of activity so that it's not so much going on, but also so little going on, that there needs to be, like, you know, we have this month. We're not going to have... we'll have one activity this month, one activity next mm-hmm. month, and if you've got that going on at church very well with your families, then it's not like, yeah, every night we're supposed to be at church and we feel guilty and now what?
And it's also
our kids are missing church stuff.
If you are a youth minister, a youth deacon, you know, the parent who happens to plan a lot of youth activities, there's no way you're going to schedule every activity where every kid can come, especially if the congregation's of any size. Now, if you've got a congregation of 15, you probably can work around that one family, you know, that's got kids. But if you've got more than one family, you know, you're going to schedule the devotional or the fun night or whatever it is, and somebody's going to not be able to be there. There needs to be a way to communicate that we want church to be the priority, but we also understand not everybody can be at everything. And communicate that in a way where you still say church is the priority, but please give us some grace that we're trying to do our best with the scheduling.
Right.
And be at what you can.
And communicate with those who are planning. Like, you know, this would be great. Could we tweak that schedule? Because
this is a great activity, but, you know, Friday night during football season, right, is probably, you know, not the smartest,
especially if it's some like obvious thing that maybe is just an oversight. You know, maybe it's somebody, I mean, you know, you were a youth minister and we had plenty of times where it was like, oops, you know,
right. We
goofed with planning something. One thing,
don't you know this is going to school? Right. No, I didn't. I missed that. Okay.
But, yeah. Or just I'm sure we, you know, planned an awful lot sometimes that, because we could, and
right,
you know, so it takes communication with churches and parents who have children, communicating with those planning, and it's, you know, and it's just really about an overall long-term plan with your kids. It's not so much like each individual activity, but it's an overall thing, like what have we taught them with what we participate in and what we don't participate in.
Let me flip that suggestion around to the families. Don't complain because your church actually has things going on.
That's true.
Be thankful you're at a congregation that's busy. Can I do something we've never done before on the podcast?
What?
We're kind of going down a road here. Why don't we make this our next episode?
Okay.
Helping families and congregations plan a youth calendar.
Sure, that'd be good.
Or an activities calendar might be a better way of putting it. Not that we're going to give, you know, here's the activities to go to, but just how to have that sort of mindset where you're thinking of families, but you're also thinking about getting the kids
involved.
That's
good, because we've been in both sides now.
Well, we have, and
we've come full circle.
And at a lot of places, not just here, things are beginning to open back up. Mm-hmm. This is a good time evaluating that sort of thing and thinking about. Yeah, usually congregations have been doing this in like November and December for a year, and then they were going like, nothing, because we may still be in a pandemic, you know, in 2075. So let's just make that the next episode, sort of how congregations and families can work together to build at least sort of the schedule of a youth program. How's that sound?
It's good. And I keep having a thought, but it leaves my head.
We record this really soon. We'll forget we said this.
I've been trying to say something for about 5 minutes now.
It's a long episode, by the way. Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, it's not.
I can't remember. It was something very important.
That you love
me. Of course. It was something that you know, I thought about when you were saying something, and then you asked me a question. I don't know. Something happened, and it just left my brain.
You were thinking about the
incident. It was about when I first mentioned, you know, after I mentioned the calendar thing.
This is great podcasting, by the way. Nothing like dead air.
Oh, sorry.
People who have their podcast apps.
You always tell me not worry about stuff like that now.
People who have podcast apps, it just skips dead air. It just jump forward. Hey, you just saved 9 seconds. That was great.
Well, it was probably.
So what we're trying to say basically is, it is okay for your kids to want to be good students. They should want to be good students. It is okay for them to play baseball or be involved in drama or to be in, you know, some kind of community club. That's wonderful. But church needs to have the higher priority. Don't let those things dominate your calendar, your time, your money, your energy. Don't let them take away from all your family time. Don't let that only be your family time. Make sure spiritual things are at the center of your family's time, and have some fun together as a family that doesn't have to be involved with that particular activity. Actually sit down and watch a movie together or read a book together. Don't just make your family identified by, we are so busy with extracurriculars that that's just what we are.
Yeah. And it takes you swimming upstream a little bit sometimes
it really
too.
Does.
Because if you go along with everything that you see other families doing, you're going to end up in this place where you have way too many things going on and you're not focusing on the most important things.
I'm so glad you're my Valentine.
Well, I'm glad you're mine.
You didn't ask.
Will you be mine?
Of course. Are you kidding?
I didn't know I was supposed to ask. I thought you asked me. I was like, kidding. I'm going to be your Valentine. I just thought that was understood.
I'm just kidding. So... We will. How about that? We've already got our next. We're good. We're episodes ahead. This is great. So next time we'll talk about that. Then two episodes from now we'll talk. We'll start making plans. 65 reasons. You know. So we hope these lessons, these podcasts. I'm so used to preaching right now. We hope these podcasts have helped you. We know we've talked about some things that are probably a little bit controversial, or like you said, I have to phrase you, swimming upstream. We know these things have overlapped a little bit the last three episodes, but what we said when we began this was we kind of wanted to go back to our roots. Yeah, this is kind of where the podcast began, was us just sitting down behind a microphone, trying to say, here's some things we struggle with, but also some things we have seen that we want to just talk through. It's as if we're just talking through them, but we're trying to direct some of those things to whoever wants to listen. And thankfully, we have no idea why, but hundreds of people listen to this. So we're grateful that you do. We haven't said this in a long time, but if you've never just, you know, taken the time to subscribe to the podcast or left a review or something, those things do help. I've said before, I have no idea how they help, but they do. So if you can just share this on social media, or if you've never subscribed, do that. Reviews are a huge help somehow in the algorithms of all those podcast things. We'd really appreciate if you would do that. And we're just thankful that anybody listens, but we look at the numbers sometimes and we're like, well, there's people like in Germany listening to this. And like, by trivia time,
no.
The United States, of course, is the country with the most downloads. It's not even close. Can you name the country with the second most downloads of A Legacy of Faith, the podcast? I've never showed you this, I don't think.
I think you told me once, but I can't remember.
It is not a European country.
Okay, well, that helps.
More dead air. This is great.
Is it in South America? Can you give me a continent?
Asia.
Asia. Malaysia.
No. Busan.
Japan?
Japan.
Really?
Japan. And it's like way out in second place. So, so thank you to Japan. And we have listeners in. We've had
you're
download.
An Iron Joke.
Iron Chef.
An Iron
yes.
Iron Chef. An Iron Chef.
We've had downloads from I don't know how many countries. Iran has had a download, so thank you. We're talking like into the thousands in Japan, but I mean it's hundreds and so forth, and a bunch of countries in Europe and South America and. Even some places where I honestly think Christianity is illegal, we've been downloaded. So it is.
Maybe coming again.
It's amazing. I mean, Iran. We've been Saudi Arabia. Wow. We've been downloaded at least a handful of times in those places. So I know we're running long, but we say that not to brag. We say it because we are amazed and we are thankful. And if God is using this in any way to encourage your family, we're just two folks behind a cheap microphone who do this, and we can't believe anybody listens, but we're thankful you do.
Yes, we are.
So now that we've run 43 minutes.
This is maybe our longest
I think it is.
Podcast.
Leah, I love you.
I love you.
And happy Valentine's Day coming up soon.
Happy Valentine's
Day. And until next time, remember your family can go to heaven. Just make sure you go there together.